In order to live a life that's strong by design, you need to live a life in alignment with what you want for yourself. So if you're going through hell, if you are desperately seeking to overcome anxiety and dominate in business and in life, this is the episode for you. Our guest, Craig Ballantyne, went through hell, so you don't have to. And you're about to hear what he did in his life to beat anxiety and to be unstoppable. We believe that you are strong by design, and you were made in God's image to have a strong body, mind, and spirit. You're listening to the number one Strength and Health Authority podcast in the world. So let's get ready to unlock your potential and transform your life in today's episode. Hi there, and welcome to another amazing episode of the Strong by Design podcast. This is your host today, Coach Chris Wilson, and I'm so truly honored to have a mentor of mine on the other side of this conversation. And this is someone that gets me excited, gets me motivated to take action in my life. I've learned a lot from this person over the last few years, actually intimately. I've participated in a workshop with him, done a lot of his reading, his newsletters, his books. And so thank you, Mr. Craig Ballantyne, for being on the Strong by Design show today.
This is going to be a blast. I'm really looking forward to this.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. And so, you know, before the audience gets more acquainted with you and your fantastic story, I want to just highlight some of what you've been doing over the last 15, 20 years. Craig currently is a very well-paid coach in business and in life. He is considered the world's most disciplined man, and we'll get into some of that. It's actually quite interesting stuff. He's been featured in magazines such as Forbes, Maxim, Men's Health, and GQ. He's helped transform the lives of over 7 million people in the realms of physical life, financial life, mental transformation, and emotional transformation. Sounds familiar, right? Because this show is about getting strong in mind, body, and spirit. So, I mean, he's truly one of the perfect people to speak with. But Craig had something amazing happen to him, what ended up being a really fantastic transformation, right? But in 2006, Craig had two emergency room visits because he thought he was having a heart attack at 30 years old. And he was in perfect health in terms of physical health, right? So that's where I want to dive right into immediately, because this is really what's catapulted you to where you are today, Craig. The man that you are, helping to shape the lives of so many people all over the world. And so if you would, take us back to 2006 and share some of your story that kind of brought on this massive change in your life.
Yeah, it was definitely not amazing. You described it as something amazing happened. He went to the emergency room.
Amazing in a bad way, right?
That was a blast, I'll tell you that much. So listen, I was young and on the verge of success. Actually, I wasn't even that young. I was 29. So, I mean, I really, like, I should have been grown up by then, but I wasn't. So I was working all these hours. I was going out a lot. And, you know, I've talked to a lot of people in the fitness space, and a lot of them have led this kind of hypocritical life, you know, in their late 20s as well. And so it's got to change. And I wish I would have changed earlier, but, you know, I worked too much. I didn't have boundaries on it. I partied too much, didn't have boundaries on it. You know, wasn't getting enough sleep, too much caffeine, too much alcohol, too many thoughts in my head, not talking it out, not asking for help. And it led to those anxiety attacks, which were one of, you know, when you look back on some bad things, you can say, yeah, that was a good thing in the end, because it helped me figure a whole bunch of stuff out. Now I just, you know, I'm on cruise control all the time, always accelerating, but on, you know, not having those tough times anymore. And I'm able to help so many other people either prevent or get out of those tough times. So yeah, it was amazing actually in the end. And I look back and I laugh about it all now. Not funny back then, but I totally laugh about it now, because I am cured of it, and I can't wait to help somebody else overcome it too.
Yeah. And it's funny, because a lot of us in the fitness and health space, you know, my story, while it's not quite your story, there's a lot of similarities because I too was working at health clubs. I was working with high achievers, affluent people, really amazing athletes in a southwest corner of Connecticut.
Yeah.
And I was kind of, you know, I guess say walking the talk during the week, but I kind of was living for the weekends, and that, and I was making enough money where I could really invest in my fun and my energy.
And you were living in a pressure cooker, you know, Southwest Connecticut, so close to New York and the Northeast. I mean, it's just like pressure, pressure, pressure. I mean, America in general, when I go to Europe every summer, I just feel like the weight of the world is off my shoulders because I don't, you know, CNN's not blasting in my face at every restaurant, airport, you know, and it's free. It's freeing. And, you know, when we live here in North America, I live in Toronto, you live in down Florida, you know, you go everywhere and like, hey, I think the election's in like 2048 or something. And it's already, you know, a blast, blast, blast. I despise it. And I really know that there's pressure on us in America, North America to push, 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 push. And I do believe in pushing, but there's got to be some recovery built in there as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely right. So many of us are living with the accelerator pushed all the way down to the floorboard, you know, and it's sometimes in order to correct, right, we got to pull over.
Yeah.
We got to stop the car, pull over, you know, and walk, do a walk around and make sure all the lights are working, because this was a massive wake-up call for you. Your life wasn't what you were teaching, what you were preaching to your people at the time. You weren't following through yourself, and this was kind of wrecking you on the inside.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
And take us down, if you wouldn't mind, just this, what this road looked like for you in terms of how it felt, and kind of let's define what anxiety really is, because maybe somebody listening right now is going through some of these feelings, living a life kind of like this that's out of alignment, and they're not able to put their finger on like exactly what's happening. So if you could maybe explain some of those feelings and those sleepless nights and what that was looking like for you.
Definitely. So I was hypocritical on the weekends. It was work, 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 you know, be a very good boy from Sunday night through Friday afternoon. And then, you know, I might have taken it easy Friday night, but I was definitely drinking by 4 o'clock Saturday afternoon till about 4 o'clock Sunday morning, and then, you know, hungover and recovered. I remember like it would be so hard to stay awake on Sunday afternoon. I'd want to have a nap, but I knew if I had a nap, I wouldn't be able to fall asleep until midnight on Sunday night. And then that meant, you know, I'd be up 5 hours later to go and start my personal training, where I'd be, you know, living that hypocritical lifestyle and then writing articles for Men's Health magazine. So I knew that I was hypocritical. I remember at the time thinking, oh my gosh, if readers found out that, you know, I was shotgunning Red Bulls and vodka, you know, on the weekend and, you know, chugging beers and, you know, just staying out till all crazy hours, chasing girls, I was like, this is not what readers would expect of me. And, you know, most people who meet me today don't believe that ever happened, but did. And you can ask Vince Del Monte, that's for sure. He was at one of our legendary nights in Vegas in 2009, which is actually 3 years after I had the anxiety attack. So I didn't cure myself of all of that debaucherous behavior until about 2011. But actually maybe 2010, that 2009 was like one of the last going outs. And so that's the way the life was. And I remember right after my first anxiety attack, I was interviewing some girl for Oxygen magazine because I was writing for them. And I remember sitting there thinking, oh my gosh, this girl sounds all together and she's so fit and so committed to the cause. And here I am, like I'm, you know, a fraud interviewing her for a fitness magazine when I just, you know, had an anxiety attack because I drank too much. So I definitely realized that I needed to change, but it's hard to change your ways sometimes. So that was what I was struggling with for sure.
And something that was really important to you at the time, it still is extremely important to you, is like what you're able to accomplish by 12 o'clock, you know, and that's really what kind of, you know, created the Perfect Life workshop, you know, and which is what Craig is really well known for, is like the creating the perfect day, which leads to the perfect life. And that involves structure and how structure creates freedom in your life.
I want to say one thing though, Chris. Yeah. I want people to understand that my life is not your life, is not right. our readers and listeners' life.
Right.
And so when you look at the absolute stuff, like he goes to bed at this time, he gets up at this time, he does this, don't live my life. Okay. Take the principles, the foundations, and apply them to your life, because you know your life best. You know your physiology, your mental capacity, your energy levels better than I do. But the principles apply to everybody. Right. And I like to use the phrase, it's not about the hour that you get up, it's what you do with the hours that you are up. So 5 a.m. club is not for everybody. I think the 5 a.m. club is quite stupid for most people, especially for somebody that's getting up at 7 o'clock now. You do not go from 7 a.m. to 5 a.m. If you try and go from 7 a.m. to 5 a.m., you will have 2 days that will feel like a miracle. And then you will crash and burn so hard on day three that you will say, I'm never getting up before 7 o'clock again. And I don't want that to happen. I don't want that to happen at all. And I actually had my friend Russell Brunson did this, because he got my kit and he started getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning or 4:30 or something after he was getting up at 7 or 7:30 or even 8. And he did that. And I know that he had a rebound or would have had a rebound from it. Like he said he got a full 8 hours work done in those first 2 hours, and you do, but if you make that big of a jump, it's like taking somebody who eats pizza and soda all the time and saying, okay, chicken and broccoli for the next 30 days, good luck, go at it. You know that ain't lasting. So it's the same with the hour that you get up. And our mutual friend, Joel Marion, is a perfect example of this. You know, he built a massive supplement business, $100 million business, between the hours of like 9 p.m. and 4 a.m. Right. I used to stay at his place, you know, just, you know, close to you down in Florida, in St. Pete's. And when I got up at 4 o'clock in the morning, that was his signal to go to bed. He'd, and he'd go, oh, it's bedtime. And then we would like, we'd pass. We'd be like, I don't know if you ever watched like Bugs Bunny when you were a kid, and there was the two sheepdogs, and one would punch in and go, morning, Ralph. And the other one was like, no, good night, Sam. You know, because the one was like the overnight and the one was the morning.
Yeah, yeah. You guys are like switching shifts.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Oh, like my shift's over, Craig's starting. And then when he gets up at 11, I'm like, yeah, yeah, I'm pretty much done my day.
Thank you so much for listening to the Strong by Design podcast. If you find our show helpful in any way, please let us know by leaving a 5-star review on iTunes. Go to strongbydesignpodcast.com. Your review will help us reach more listeners and continue to change lives. Let's get back to the show.
Everyone's time of productivity is different. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because yeah, immediately people are going to be like, I'm not a morning person, or I'm a night owl or whatever. That's fine. Be the night owl. What are you doing, you know, from that 10 to 2 in the morning period that you like to be up? You know, is it, are you spending your time in something that's going to propel you forward, that's producing something for you, that's passionate? You know, and that's something obviously that you mentioned, putting time into things that fuel you, right? That are path that leave you feeling full.
And yeah. The one thing I'll say that on though, Chris, is that we have research that shows like the, you know, being up really late at night is not great for you.
Right.
And I also believe, I truly believe that it's harder to be a night owl. It takes more discipline to be a night owl than it takes to be an early riser. And people are going, well, that sounds crazy. Because everybody wants to be the night owl, right? We want to be like we were in high school, where we stayed up late, or college or whatever. But here's the thing. Most people's days are designed around regular work hours, right? So maybe you have a full-time job and you're trying to do something on the side. You want to write a book or start a business, or maybe you run a business, but you have to be there for your employees and team members during the day. And then you're like, oh, I got some other major projects and I'll just work on them tonight when everybody goes to bed. Okay, well, now you go home and you got to play with the kids and you put them to bed and you're like, okay, now I'm going to have dinner. And then, you know, your significant other says, well, let's just watch one show on Netflix. And you get in like halfway and he or she goes, what about a glass of wine and maybe like some, you know, a snack? And you're like, okay. And the next thing you know, you're 3 episodes into Netflix, 2 glasses of wine deep. And now you're going to go and work on your side hustle? No way, bro. That is not happening, because we do not have the willpower, the discipline, intention at, you know, 11 o'clock at night after 3 episodes of Netflix and 2 glasses of wine or 2 beers or whatever you want to consume. You know, you're going to bed. You're going to bed and you're like, okay, I'll do it tomorrow night. And then that repeats itself again tomorrow night. So that's why it takes more discipline to be a night owl, because there's so many temptations at night when you have the lowest willpower. So the morning, and it's, again, it's not about getting up crazy early. It's about getting up 15 minutes earlier than you are now. If you get up at 6, get up at 5:45 a.m. and spend those 15 minutes working on something. And if you're an expert, you can write 500 words in 15 minutes. If you're writing a book or articles for your website, you can film a couple videos. You can film a story for Instagram and sell the way I teach through Instagram. Or you can sit there and work on getting out of credit card debt. Or you can sit there and spend time on devotionals. I know so many people that have come to my program that you've come to that say, hey, you know what? I'm not making time for Bible study in the day. I go, how much time do you need for Bible study? They go, I don't even have time for 5 minutes. I'm like, what? You know, if you're real strong, you have real strong faith and you are not making 5 minutes a day to do a little bit of Bible study, well, you got your days all messed up here. So get up 15 minutes earlier in the morning and read and, you know, work through whatever study guide you're going through. But I have worked with many Christian entrepreneurs who like, that was one of their major complaints. I don't have any time for Bible study. You can't find 5 minutes in your day. Oh, you are definitely doing something wrong. And it's, you're gonna make it in the morning for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you've talked a lot about, you know, and stuff that I've read and it's probably a combination of your newsletter and the book and some other reading that I do, is that, you know, we have all these different areas of our life. Like you said, you know, we have our emotional side, our physical side, financial, mental side, right? All these different parts. It can be very hard for people to try and level up in all these areas at the same time, right? Because it can feel overwhelming. It's like, how do I put all this extra effort and energy into all these things at the same time? What would you say to that person that's trying to make some strides in these different categories? Like what's a good starting place for them?
Well, the one thing that I tell people is that everybody's in a season of life. You're in a season of life. And I got this from Vince Del Monte's father, Luciano. And he said, you know, you're either in a season of wealth, health, family, or, you know, kind of like personal enrichment, charity work, that sort of stuff. And, you know, my mom is in a season of personal development. You know, she's really, you know, she doesn't have health problems. She doesn't have money problems. You know, kids are out of the house. And so, what does she do? She spends time in volunteer work. That's her main focus. Now, you know, she also improves other areas of her life, but you need to just choose one of them. So if you're a 25-year-old listening to this, you're not married, you want to get married soon, you're really in a stage of financial season. So you need to be putting all your effort into making enough money so that you buy the house or buy the wedding ring or, you know, get a firm foundation to raise your children. That's where you are right now. Now, if you're engaged or you have a baby, you're in a season of family and you got to be okay with not hustling and grinding. I hear from so many entrepreneurs. I don't usually work with them in this case, but I hear from so many entrepreneurs who are really, you know, frustrated and they're hard on themselves. They're like, you know, I got a baby and I'm not getting all my work done. I'm like, how can you expect to get all of your work done when you have a baby who depends on you 24/7? Like, you just have set bad expectations in your head that you think, oh, I'm just going to add this other living human that cannot talk, feed itself, or clean itself. I'm just going to add this to my life and I'm just going to keep going and crushing 12-hour workdays. No, you ain't. Smarten up. You know, like, if you're stressed out by it, it's your fault because you don't have proper expectations and you got to give yourself permission to back off a bit. And that's the key.
Yeah. I appreciate that because that's fantastic to hear. And for parents maybe who are feeling like they're struggling and bumping in the walls, it's, you know, if you have children that are babies or my kid's age is 4 and going on 8, you know, there's only so much time in the week that you can be focused on work. You have to have a certain amount of time focused on your family if you want your family to be, you know, connected, to be the healthy family that you want to be able to, you know, provide to, you know, be a great husband or wife to your spouse, be a great dad or mother to your children and be part of their lives and not just be so, you know, focused on the money side, you know, the career side.
And that goes back to knowing your values, knowing your vision. And we talk about your values and vision drive every decision in the Unstoppable book. And that truly is the way it goes. And so what you need to do, you know, in a lot of cases, is that having a baby or adding, you know, more family responsibilities actually makes a lot of entrepreneurs better and smarter with their time. And they realize, oh, I can't screw around on Instagram. There's a lot of people who really should just give up Instagram. Like if you're not making $1,000 a week from it, you should probably just give up Instagram because it's not worth your time. You know, the average amount of time someone spends on Instagram is 55 minutes a day. And if you're on there 55 minutes a day and not making, even if you were not making $700 a week, that'd be $100 per hour you're on Instagram. Just delete Instagram. Move on. You don't need to be on there. If you're already friends with somebody on Facebook and you want to keep up with them, you don't need to be friends with them on Instagram because like, oh my gosh, what are you going to like follow them on 9 social medias now? Or if you like, you're like, oh my gosh, what if my brother-in-law found out I don't follow him on Instagram? I'd be a horrible person. No, you're not. They're a horrible person if they're upset with you. So get over it and shut down Instagram and go back and spend more time with your kids.
Thank you so much for listening to the Strong by Design podcast. If you're enjoying today's show, please subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. Go to strongbydesignpodcast.com. Let's get back to the show.
That's so true in our day and age where we get just so, you know, mesmerized and so involved in these things that really aren't, I mean, in the big picture, don't matter a whole heck of a lot how many likes and shares and stories and all this stuff that's going on, you know.
Well, a lot of it is not our fault because here's the thing is every single day that we wake up, we go to war with, there must be 100,000 engineers in Silicon Valley whose entire job, whose entire life purpose is to make us addicted to this phone.
Yeah.
Like every single day they wake up and, hey, how can we make Instagram more addictive? How can we make people get use Facebook, you know, an extra 15 minutes a day? How can we get people to download this app and check in with it 5 times? Like that's what you're up against every single day. And there's 100,000 of them and they have PhDs from MIT. And if you think you're going to win that war by playing by their rules, by going on, no, you know, I'll have all the notifications on here and you know what, I'll be fine. No, you're not going to win that battle. I'll show you my phone and you can see how few apps are on there. Instagram and Uber are the only things I use on here and I get no notifications. I own this phone. I beat that phone every day. Nobody ever beats me in the phone game.
Incidentally, and it's worth mentioning, Craig does a lot of great posts on Instagram. Share your handle with the listeners just so that they can be, you know, inspired for change in life.
Yes, and then I'll tell you the secret about my posts on Instagram. So it's Real Craig Ballantyne, Real Craig Ballantyne. And most of the posts that you see on Instagram are not created by me. They're not uploaded by me. They are uploaded by my team. People ask me what's my favorite app for creating stuff on Instagram, and I say it's other people. Other people. So
people, they're looking up the Other People app.
Right. Everybody's going, Other People, I like this app. And it's not actually in the app store. It's available everywhere though, everywhere out in the ethers. And so I have people who know my vision. They're on my team. They know my vision. They've read my books. They've seen the previous posts that I did make. They know what we're looking for. I coach them on it. And I give them feedback after I've gone through the post. And when I started getting other people to post on my stuff, I went from getting an average of 1,000 likes to an average of 1,200. Their posts are better than my posts. That's cool, right? Because they know it and they're young people. They know Instagram. They know what, you know, gets a better response. They do these beautiful things. I believe they use an app called Canva and there might be another one, but I'm using the app called Other People. And if you're an entrepreneur, if you're an empire builder, even if you're a busy parent, you got to start using the app Other People way more often for meal prep, for cutting the lawn, for all that stuff, because you were not put here to cut the lawn. Okay. Even if you're a busy parent who stays at home with the kids, you were not put here to cut the lawn unless you absolutely love cutting the lawn. But if you don't love cutting the lawn, if you don't love doing the dishes, you don't love doing the laundry, if you don't love making all the meals, find somebody else, find a service that can do these things so that you have more time at your church, so that you have more time with your kids, so that you have more time with XYZ, ABC, 1, 2, 3, whatever it is that makes a difference. That's what I challenge you to do. And there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it because there's somebody out there who wants to do that stuff and who is willing to work at a fair wage. And if you can afford it, so it frees up your time to do an extra amount of Bible study and that really matters to you, I think that's a win-win-win-win-win situation.
Yeah, that's wins all the way around. There's no doubt about that. And obviously, that's bringing that alignment that you talk about so much in your book, Unstoppable, bringing the alignment and that structure into your life, which creates the freedom, right? You're creating, you know, maybe these tasks that you don't want to have to get to. You're putting people on those tasks so that now you have an extra few hours a week to devote to, you know, writing, to tinkering in the garage on that project that you've been putting off, whatever it is that, you know, really gets you excited and gets you, you know, amped up, makes you feel good, makes you proud of yourself. Like, these are all good feelings to have. And the trouble is those feelings get shut down a lot in life because we're kind of railroading ourselves with doing all these like must do things that, you know, don't fuel us and just rob us of that productivity.
Yeah. And especially the female entrepreneur really suffers from this. Yeah. I work with so many of them and I love being the guy who comes along and says, you don't ever have to do clean your house again. And you don't have to cook all the meals. You're not a bad person if you don't. And they are like, oh my gosh, thank you for saying that. Because, you know, their mother-in-law is like breathing down their throat. You didn't make all the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches this week. You didn't cook all the meals. Well, no, I was out, you know, running a training business or was out growing a business or was out writing a book. You know, making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches every single day. Now, of course, you're going to make some with love some days, but you can't be guilted into saying, oh, you know what, my book's going to have to wait another 18 months because I have to, you know, do the laundry every single week or whatever. No, you gotta be okay with living differently than our parents did because it's a different time and there are different resources available to us and there are different impacts that we're making as opposed to our parents. So move on and do what is right for your life, not what is somebody else thinks is the way that you should live.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Do what's right for your life, not what other people expect or want for you.
Right.
You got to live by your terms, live life on your terms. Talk about, if you would, because I think we've kind of at least touched enough on, you know, the book is fantastic, by the way, if I haven't already said that, Unstoppable, you got to go get it. What's the best actually platform, Craig, where people can go and actually just get this book really quick?
Well, they can get on Amazon. So you can get Audible, Amazon. You can also go to beunstoppablebook.com.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, that's the, you get the free plus shipping there. You just pay a little couple bucks for shipping. We'll ship you out a copy with the new Wall Street Journal bestseller sticker on it. It's really awesome. And then no matter where you get it, we have a video course bonus that goes with it. So you get to watch like 3 hours of, you know, further training that allows you to really reduce that anxiety and be super successful. So yeah. I want to share that with everybody.
Really enjoyed reading it on the plane. I got about halfway through it and I'm excited to just continue and finishing it. It's really a nice read. It reads pretty fast. And it starts off with a lot of where we started in the beginning, just trying to touch on what Craig's life looked like, you know, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And how obviously, you know, those bad times in our life or those times that we're maybe not that proud of are actually really good things to have because what it creates for us, it creates this strong desire or passion for change, or at least shows us what we need to fix in our life.
Yeah, and we see that in a lot of our favorite pastors and leaders, you know, like right. A lot of people are on their second chance, and it is something that we should give to ourselves too.
Yeah. Can you talk about how important it is, Craig, to have others in our lives that hold us accountable for these small steps, these progressions, these changes that we're making, how just vitally important it is because we can't do it alone?
Yeah, this is vitally important to get the accountability. You need to get accountability from somebody that you deeply do not want to disappoint. When you have that, you can move mountains in your life. And whether you look at this person as a big brother or like the way that everybody probably had a high school teacher that believed in them, listen, that is what you need. You need to be going to somebody every day and say, hey, listen, I'm going to get this done by this time and I'm going to check in with you. I have a lot of clients who send me messages. Did they exercise and eat right today? What time did they get up? Because they don't want to let me down. And that's key. Having something like that, a friend or a pastor, a peer, something like that, just make sure you have accountability because we have all the information we need to be successful. we're just not using it properly because we don't have accountability.
Yeah. And I'm so fortunate and blessed, and you know, anybody who's seen me on our Facebook Lives or on YouTube or whatever platform they've seen our team here. You know, our team, obviously we have a great leader in Mike, and we have just a team that's all on the same page, and we just help each other move in the same direction. And I know that there's people listening that maybe don't have that luxury where they work. You know, maybe they have the desire for change and they want to start surrounding themselves with the right people, but it's really hard for them because of, you know, they're not super, super happy where they're at, you know, and they don't see those people around them. What's your advice maybe for that person other than try and find a new job?
Hey, listen, I've worked in many negative environments. I've worked at factories, all this stuff. And you know what? There's plenty of places, your church, your gym, online and Facebook. There's plenty of positive groups out there on Facebook. It's not all negative and politics and all that stuff. If you see negativity, remove it from your life as quickly as possible. Remove it from your life as quickly as possible. You would not drink water with poison in it. So why do you allow people's negative, poisonous emotions and words into your head? You know, people care too much about what other bad people think of them. It's ridiculous. And you got to get over it, because you worry like, oh, that person's going to criticize me. That person's already criticizing you. They're calling you nasty names behind your back. And if you think nobody's calling you names behind your back, you are living in la la land. So right now, what you need to do is get over that and get over that fast and say, I'm going to live my best life. And my best life is the life that serves my family and my friends and my faith and my fitness and my finances. And I'm going to live that best life. And everybody else around me, if you want to come along for the ride, I'm going to support you. If you want to denigrate me, you're out of my life, period.
You're not born with toughness. It has to be developed. Discover 5 ways to become tough as nails. Go to strongbydesigntough.com, enter your email, and download this special report for free. Let's get back to the show.
You can actually kind of distance yourself from even family, depending on, you know, just keep them at a distance. If there's someone that's dragging you down, obviously friends and people, associates outside your family, those are probably a bit easier to be able to distance yourself from. Family can be more challenging, but there's still ways to do it. And I know even in your own family, you can come under attack, because sometimes when they see you starting to level up, they don't like that. They're like, oh, you're too good for us now. We don't, you know, and so you don't get the support. You actually,
well, they're scared, right?
Yeah,
they're scared of you leaving them behind. And so if that's it, you know, just make sure that you're not telling them you're leaving behind. And if you're in an environment where there's negativity, you know, if people are arguing and your family is racist, or if your family is, you know, gossiping, just excuse yourself from the conversation and go and do something else, or change the subject. You know, be polite. You don't have to sit there and raise your voice and let your blood pressure go up. You know, people really need to control themselves, and you can fully control your response to things. You know, you should be able to build up such self-control that someone can get up in your grill and give you such a hard time, and you just are like, hey, I'm not going to change your mind. You're not going to change my mind. That's totally fine. I'm just going to walk away from this confrontation. And, you know, maybe when we both calm down, we can, you know, hang out again, but I'm not going to get involved in this.
Yeah.
And if people want to make excuses that they can't, you know, get out of that, I got nothing for you, but you, because you can.
Yeah, absolutely. There's always something, there's always an option. There's always a way to deal with those things. And, obviously, Craig's book is a great resource for how to handle yourself in lots of these situations that you find in life. What I really like too in the beginning of the book, Craig, is when you talk about, you know, dealing with this anxiety, you were handling it initially with some natural approaches, just some really basic, simple things that you were implementing into your life to try and calm yourself and bring yourself out of living so anxious. Could you share with the listeners a few of those things that someone could immediately start to implement into their life before they even get the book, and ways that they can kind of calm their mind a little bit and ease some of this anxiety-stricken living?
Yeah, absolutely. So the two most important things to do are, one, remove the negatives. So remove the excess caffeine. Caffeine's going to cause you to be anxious. Remove the excess alcohol. Remove the sleepless nights. Remove the negative people, environments, toxic environments. Remove the excess sugar. You know, you don't have to go like a crazy hardcore diet, because a crazy hardcore diet is not going to solve the problem. But excess stuff will make the things worse. So just, you know, whole natural foods and a healthy diet and healthy environment, healthy sleep, and not over-exercising, because over-exercising can make things worse. So just take care of yourself. Now, once you've removed all the negative, that should bring the anxiety down a little bit. And then the next most important thing to add to your life is proper breathing, because anxiety is a lot of a nervous, you know, it's the sympathetic nervous system firing too much. And the sympathetic nervous system is known as a fight or flight response. And also, you're having too much adrenaline in your body because you're breathing from your upper chest and short, shallow breaths. And that blows off too much carbon dioxide, and your body responds by increasing adrenaline in your body, very much like caffeine increases adrenaline, stimulants increase adrenaline. And so if you have adrenaline, like if you're always ready to step in the octagon, you are going to have anxiety. So what we do is we step out of the octagon and into the yoga studio and learn how to breathe with our belly, you know, the meditation style breathing, Tai Chi breathing, Qigong style breathing, yoga style breathing, you know, big inhale through our nose, fill up our belly, slow exhale. And if you do that for a couple of minutes, you will calm yourself down. And by adding that and taking away negatives, you should see a marked improvement in your anxiety levels. And you can do this even if you just have general stress. This is a great thing to do. A minute of that slow breathing, 4 seconds in, 6 seconds out. That's like as basic as you can get. And if you do that for a minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, you'll be calm. And when you're going to bed at night, if you can't fall asleep at night, got this one from Dr. Andrew Whale. His is 4 seconds in, 7 second hold, 8 second exhale. And if you do four rounds of that is over a minute. If you do like 8 rounds of that or 3 or 4 minutes of it, it's hard for you to still be awake. You will really help yourself fall asleep. So, wow. So that kind of breathing, it deactivates the sympathetic nervous system and activates the parasympathetic nervous system, which is a relaxation nervous system. Yeah. You're going to see all types of benefits in your physical health.
Yeah, it's amazing in life. I'm always astounded by the simplest things bring about the most change. And once you know it, it's just breathing better. And because so many of us we're breathing up here, we're breathing up in the top of our chest. And just learning how to breathe into your belly, pulling your air down into your belly, down into your mid belly, and then into your chest. So actually you can breathe in almost three stages. Try to breathe all your air into your belly, and then take another breath in and try to breathe it into your mid chest, and then take another breath in and try to fill up the top. So you're actually filling from the bottom up as you breathe. And that's something that we've done sometimes here in yoga. And it's absolutely unbelievable. Every time after I've ever done a yoga session, and breathing is a huge focus, right? Yoga practice. I always just have such a great focus afterwards. I feel clear. I feel calm. I feel productive. I feel ready for what's next. And guess what? I feel a level of energy that I'm not, you know, that like a sports drink or a caffeine Red Bull type drink is not going to give you. You just have this nice sustained energy. You feel good. And that's where our bodies are supposed to be at. You know, we're not supposed to be up and down riding these waves. We're supposed to be leveled out, you know?
Absolutely.
And it's so, I love that as a great takeaway for those people listening, is some simple things that you can start to implement, you know, weed out those negatives and start introducing some proper breathing technique into your life, whether it's early in the morning, middle of the day, before you go to bed, or all three even, right? I mean, so.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Breathing, Like, it's so simple. You're like, really? Breathing is going to help? And the answer is yes, it will.
Thank you so much for listening to the Strong by Design podcast. If you find our show helpful in any way, please let us know by leaving a 5-star review on iTunes. Go to strongbydesignpodcast.com. Your review will help us reach more listeners and continue to change lives. Let's get back to the show.
I'd like to just close with the habits in your life and how the habits are what really create the structure, right? And, and if we live our daily lives by these habits, that creates this almost like this force field around us in terms of, you know, living a life that we feel that we're meant to live. And could you just touch a little bit on some of these habits and just how important they are to furthering your journey?
Yeah. I think this little habits, and it kind of goes with the old phrase, like, it's the little things in life that matter. And a lot of people get anxiety because we're doing the comparison syndrome, the guy next door to me, he has the new BMW. I only have last year's BMW. Oh, woe is me. My life is so bad. And you know what, at the end of the day, the BMW is not the thing. It's, it's our kids, it's our family, it's our dogs, it's our time, our workouts, maybe our favorite t-shirt that costs $9 that we're wearing, 12 years later. Like, those are the things that really matter, right?
Yeah.
And we get a little bit out of whack by, looking at other people's social media, or even just, seeing people at a wedding or something like that. And then we don't know all the stuff that's going on in their life. So the little things are the things that truly make us happy. And it's the same with little habits. The little habits are really, when you have those foundational keystone habits in place, not hitting snooze, getting to bed on time, doing proper breathing, exercising, doing your 5 minutes of devotional, that stuff keeps you sane and effective. And, in 80 years from now, you're going to be happy and healthy. And yeah, maybe you didn't make $1 billion like some other guy who you went to college with who did make $1 billion, but is divorced 4 times and had a lot of heart attacks and all that stuff. Like, just focus on the basics first, get those down, and then let's leap up to next levels.
Yeah. I love that too. Not living life with comparison. Live your life. Don't live someone else's life, just because, you see that life but you know what? The grass isn't greener. It's oftentimes that person's, you're just seeing the exterior. You don't know what they're dealing with. And again, you talk about that a lot in the book, which is fantastic, and delve a lot deeper. So I urge anyone, please go and grab a copy, go to Amazon, go to anywhere where you like to get books. Audible is a fantastic way.
The audio version, if anybody was thinking, well, should I get the audio version or the book version? Get the audio version. I really truly believe the audio version of Unstoppable is some of my best work that I've ever created in my life.
Oh man, good stuff. I'm glad, because I'm like an audio junkie. If I'm not listening to it.
It's amazing. I do like voices and everything. Yeah,
you'll get fantastic. Oh, that's great. Well, thank you so much for being part of this show and sharing just some of what's in your amazing book. Hey, guys, it's a Wall Street Journal bestseller. It's fantastic. And like I said, I'm halfway through it, and I'm excited to read the rest. Who knows? Maybe I'll download it and listen to the rest of it.
Craig, you would love it.
Besides Instagram, where else can people find you and know more about you? Can you list a few of your social channels?
Yeah, Real Craig Ballantyne on Instagram is the best place. Real Craig Ballantyne on Instagram is absolutely the best place. And then email. So if you want to email me at craig@godfather.com, that's totally cool too.
Look at that. I mean, come on. You got the guy's email. So, reach out, get some coaching in life. You're all over. You're traveling quite often with your coaching.
A little less than usual than I used to be. But yeah, still traveling a fair bit down to California for some events.
Yeah. So Craig is helping people changed their lives for the better. And again, thank you for all the mentorship you've offered me personally, and your newsletter, which gets passed and filtered through our office here.
Cool.
Multiple newsletters, right? I mean, yeah. I'm always reading something that's got your name. I'm reading about Daisy, his new dog, which he's absolutely in love with, and of course, Bally, his old dog. So if you're a dog lover, you're going to love Craig, because he talks quite often about dogs.
But you're going to cry in the last chapter of Unstoppable if you're a dog lover.
So that's right.
A warning.
Just be prepared for that one, right?
Yeah. Well,
thanks again, Craig. Always an absolute pleasure to speak with you, to learn from you, and to share what you're doing with our listeners. So absolute pleasure, sir.
Thanks, brother.
Thank you so much for listening to the Strong by Design podcast. If you found value in today's episode, please subscribe so that more people can find out about our show. Plus, you don't want to miss any future episodes with the amazing guests and topics we have lined up for you.